Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Welcome.
The West Tigers have come from nothing.
The Sharks have come out to
my Cowboys. Bulldogs are on fire. Roosters are giving them a training list. Here comes South.
For Ream Hot Water. Triple M Footy.
Yeah, love to be with you on this Saturday afternoon and coming to you from Bankstown RSL, your home ground. When the Doggies are out of town, they will take on the Titans, kick off at 3 o'clock. You will, of course, hear that on Triple M. And if you get to Bankstown RSL, you can watch it on the big screen alongside Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires. Welcome back to the three of you. A huge day across the nation as the people head to the polls to vote. We'll speak to former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull in the not-too-distant future. Future Prime Minister Peter Stirling will join us to have a look at the rest of the round of football. Ryan Girdler's New South Wales team, he'll name that, as will Dell with his Queensland side. Of course, the big news yesterday was that Jack DeBellin, his appeal in the no-fault stand-down policy was dismissed by Judge Melissa Perry. That news came through at 4:03 yesterday afternoon. I think it was a bit of a shock for the St George Illawarra player and also the club, who had anticipated drafting him in to take on Newcastle in Mudgee tomorrow afternoon. That will not be the case, and with his case not perhaps being finished for 18 months, it's a bleak future that stands in front of Jack DeBellin. We wonder what that means for the Rugby League Players Association. And CEO Ian Prendergast has been good enough to join us right here, right now. G'day, mate.
G'day. How's you going?
Well, thank you. Were you surprised when Judge Perry's decision was handed down?
We were. We were obviously disappointed, not only for Jack, but all of our members and even professional athletes across the country. We have maintained our opposition to the policy throughout. We understand it's a really complex issue for the game to face, and I guess our opposition has really been based on our consideration for the criminal process and seeking to protect that on behalf of all parties, including the complainant. We believe that the federal court's decision essentially takes away the right for a person to be presumed innocent until they face the justice system. And we also got concerns with the policy based on our view that it goes outside of what we've agreed under the collective bargaining agreement in terms of the process followed by the NRL and the effect to which it imposes essentially a penalty on a player. So we're considering issuing a dispute under the CBA at the moment.
Okay, we'll get into a bit more detail about then how it meant the collective bargaining agreement. Just personally, though, Todd Greenberg, he came out and said the first person he spoke to was Brian Johnson at the Dragons, and the concern that they have at the NRL and the ARL for the player being Jack DeBellin. In terms of the Players Association, what are your concerns and what will be your actions for him?
Yeah, we haven't been directly involved with Jack's legal representation throughout this matter. We've been checking in from time to time to ensure that his welfare is supported. However, it may be that we now get more actively involved in terms of exploring options around appeals and representation from this point on. That's a conversation we'll need to have with Jack and his representatives, given, I guess, the toll that it's taken on him personally and financially to this point. As I said, we'll also consider the collective issues and issuing a dispute under the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, well, and obviously that's your main concern. Obviously, Jack's of your concern as well, and player welfare. But the fact that now that the maximum stand down period of 18 weeks, which was part of the CBA, has been disregarded, basically, what does that mean for the rest of the agreement?
Oh, it really calls into question the integrity of our role in terms of being the players' representatives and the collective bargaining agreement, which was obviously a long, drawn-out process. In terms of those minimum standards and arrangements that we secured, I think we do really need to stand up now and make sure that they are respected ongoing. Otherwise, the risk is, from the players' point of view, that the NRL can make changes under the NRL rules that directly compromise those arrangements that we've entered into. So it's a relationship test that we've built a strong professional working relationship with the NRL up to this point, which is now starting to serve the game well in terms of a whole range of proactive projects that we're progressing with them, but we also need to stand up when it's required, and that's what we're considering.
Hey, Ian, it's Emma Lauren. So does that mean you will try to dispute and have Jack only stood down for that maximum of 18 weeks?
Well, I think that the thing around standing a player down is it's, there's a breach process that you need to work through under the CBA and NRL rules, which is based on conduct. In Jack's case, they're purely allegations, so there's no conduct. The same set of facts that we're aware of, the alleged facts, are being tested by the criminal justice system, which is why this principle has been in place since day dot in NRL and other sports in this country. That's still a principle that we think needs to be maintained, but we're open to having discussions around finding an alternative approach that better balances the interests of all parties. So that's a discussion that we're keen to have with the NRL, which we believe should have been the approach from the outset, despite the huge pressure that the NRL were clearly under from major partners. And we understand that. We understand the line in the sand, the strong stance, but the idea of the partnership model under the CBA that we've entered into is that we'll put our heads together and come up with approaches jointly to tackling these type of issues.
Ian, so you say you understand that. So Peter Beattie's claim that their job is to protect the game with this no-fault stand-down clause. What do you make of that quote?
I agree that that's the role of the commission. It's also our role to protect not only the interests of our players, but the game itself. I'm the head of Telstra up around Magic Round. I've spoke to broadcasters recently. We've just appointed Pip O'Leary onto our board to be an independent director who is at Nine as head of commercial and digital. So we're in tune with where the game's at commercially. We've got a real interest in working together with the NRL to help grow it and protect it, but we need to do that jointly through the partnership model we've committed to under the CBA.
Mate, just got to ask, players will be very nervous now. I know there's some players still going through a process. Tyrone May's next. I know you guys have worked very hard with Jack DeBellin, but this changes the landscape somewhat. It's like you're guilty, but you've got to prove you're innocent.
That's our view, in that it effectively reverses the onus and puts it on a player who's maintaining his innocence and his or her innocence. And this could take up to 2 years to resolve. So that's a long time out of a professional football career, considering how short they are. And it could be catastrophic for some players if they aren't allowed to ply their trade during that period, which is about playing football. Yeah, notwithstanding that they might receive their base payment during that time, it's really about being able to go out there and take the field. And I think practically, when these things occur, it does make sense for a player to step away for a period of time to focus on what's important in terms of the criminal process and their family and their own welfare. Yep. And from the game's perspective, that would make sense, given there's so much heat around these things initially. But at some point, if they're maintaining their innocence and we don't have any objective evidence to rely on, they should be allowed to return to the field.
Hey, Ian, Todd Greenberg said they'll do everything they can to look after DeBellin's welfare. Do you think they have done an adequate job? Do you know what they're doing, or is that just a bit of lip service, do you think, from Greenberg?
I think it's really the club's sort of welfare staff that have been supporting Jack, his family, his legal team. So in terms of the game supporting him, that's really something the players invest in through the wellbeing and education program. The majority of that funding comes out of the players' share of revenue, so that's essentially them investing in their own welfare. And we're really committed to that continued investment in players as individuals, not just footballers, because we know that that's the most effective thing we can do in terms of reducing off-field incidents and ensuring players are coping with the demands that are placed on them as professional footballers.
All right, Ian Prendergast, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
There he is, the CEO of the Rugby League Players Association. Planning to get through this afternoon. Next, we're going to throw some things up onto the stock market to see who's buying, who's selling, and who's holding.
Oh, yeah.
Right here, Saturday Triple M. It's Saturday Triple M NRL coming to you live from Bankstown, RSL Bankstown. It is, of course, election heartland. It is election day, very important for the people of Australia. And who better to speak on this day than former Prime Minister, Mr. Malcolm Turnbull. Mr. Turnbull, welcome and thanks so much for joining us on the show.
It is a pleasure, Tony, and good morning to you, Emma. Good morning, Wendell. Gerds, of course, and to you, Tony Squires. I envy you out at Bankstown RSL today, of course. I hate the Liberal Party, and that is where Paul Keating, 1993, stood up and said those immortal words after the victory in the election. He said, "This is the sweetest victory of all. This is a victory for the true believer." And during my prime ministership, I thought to myself quite often, why didn't I ever say shit like that?
you mentioned Mr. Keating, Mr. Turnbull, and of course, one of his allies and occasional enemies, the great Bob Hawke, passed this week. He was a man of the people, not unlike yourself. We saw him sculling beers at the cricket, at the footy. What have you made of that and the passion around him?
Well, at the time, I was a merchant banker when Bob got in and deregulated the banks, and I made a squillion. So I always had a soft spot for Bob, but he was a larrikin. Don't you worry about that. I remember one particular time I was on the Gold Coast. We were at some kind of symposium for the Economic Accord, and it was back in Bob's union days, and we were side by side in apartments, and they were paper thin walls. And I remember Bob bundling home one night after probably one too many beers and yelling out, "When are the moles turning up?" fond memories.
Who's going to win today, Mr. Turnbull?
I know who's going to win today. This is going to be a Labor victory today. Tit Shorten is going to be swept into office on an absolute tsunami of emotion. This is Bob's election, make no doubt about it. And I would say a 15-seat majority today. And I'm happy with that because ScoMo, see you later, mate. You knife me in the back while having one hand on my shoulder saying I was your PM. And you can't trust a man to put these backs in the Engadine McDonald's after the Sharks lost to the Broncos in the one and only Super League Grand Final.
Oh, nothing wrong with the Super League Grand Final.
No, but there's something wrong with defecating in your trousers in a hamburger franchise.
Mr. Turnbull, what do you normally do on election day?
Well, Amber, what I do is I've never voted Liberal, even though I was the parliamentary leader of the Liberal Party. What I do is go down to my polling booth. I get my green House of Representatives slip. I draw a large appendage on it, lots of detail. Sometimes some pubic hair. Then I write the letters ALP on that, fold it into quarters. And when I go out to the attendant media, I can tell you one thing for sure, that smile is genuine.
Yeah.
As I hold it up and stuff it into the ballot box. Then I have a sausage from a sausage sizzle.
Hey, Mr. Turnbull.
I hate sausages too. I mean, really and truly, why can't the guards and the scouts prepare a coq au vin or a foie gras or a cherry and match it with a nice chablis or a Cote de Rhone? Their slogan is be prepared, but they never are.
Mr. Turnbull, can I ask, why was Bob such a good drinker or good at sculling? Because I've met him a few times at the Jack Newton Celebrity Classic. Him, Jack Newton, and myself had a drink, and he's got a great technique, and he can drink. Where did he get that from?
I think that he was born without an epiglottis, so he can just open the throat and pour it in. Look, Bob was celebrated for having a beer, and you might remember I was at the football watching the Swans of Sydney, my favourite team. I love the running, the jumping, the catching, the dancing and the spinning. And I had a beer and I was vilified for it. And I can tell you something. That day when I had that beer holding my granddaughter, I said to my chief of staff, "What is this drink?" And he said, "It's beer." And I said, "Is it widely available?" And he said, "Yes, it is." And I had another one and it was very refreshing.
Mr. Turnbull, it's always so wonderful to speak to you. I know I voted in Wentworth yesterday. I'm not sure exactly what your plans are this evening. Is there a party that you'll be going to celebrate?
Oh, well, Lucy and I will be up at the Piper. It'll be a traditional election night affair, but this one's going to be special. I'll be able to celebrate Tony losing Warringah. Hopefully Dutton falls on his sword too, Mr. Potato Head. ScoMo will go out. Late the night, we'll probably blaze up a fatty and take the edge off. As per usual, Lucy always looks at me and says, "So, Malcolm, will you be knocking on the doors of the lower house?"
You are on fire, Mr. Turnbull. Always great to speak to you.
You
thanks.
Are great constituents and great people, and I really enjoy your show. Good on
you.
Bye now.
There he is, the former Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Malcolm Turnbull, joining us right here. Saturday Triple M NRL.
Triple M Footy. Let's go! Ream hot water.
And we're doing it this afternoon from Bankstown RSL, your home ground, when the Doggies are out of town. They, of course, are on beautiful Gold Coast to take on the Titans. Two teams desperately in need of a win. Get on down, have a look at Ryan Girdler in action. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, my name is Tony Squires. Already fans here, of course, of the Doggies and the Titans.
Starting to lose a few. There's Keno's just started, Tony.
Has it really?
Yeah, Keno's on.
Well, what's your number at Keno, boys and girls?
I don't have a Keno number. Do you have
one? You got a favourite number?
Yeah, five. Okay. Five, always go five.
Is five your favourite number just across the board, Wendell?
Yeah, 100%.
Because it's your number as a winger?
Yeah.
Okay, did you never played in two?
I played in two, but five's the number that I sort of made famous. No, but I'm serious.
Wow, you made the number five famous across the world.
No, look, there was James Hurd and John Eales and that, but with my career, that was my number to make famous.
If you had played under the system that they use in cricket or the AFL, where you can choose your own number, what would you have chosen, five? Or do you
we
have
did that.
Number?
We had that in Super League 20, 1 year.
Would you?
23. I would have
23, the Michael Jordan.
Yeah, because I love
Moore.
Jordan. Yeah, no, not Warney.
Michael
I love Warney, but like, no, not in Michael
Lance
Clark.
Franklin.
Well, no, Michael Jordan. No, Michael Jordan was the man, that's why.
Okay, 23. Did you had that system where you could choose a number?
Yeah, I picked 13.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was just unlucky. So I just picked it. Played in 13 for a year.
Oh, mate, you were very lucky in it, that's for sure.
Lucky numbers? Do you have a lucky number?
I always choose 7. I'm not exactly sure why.
Mm-hmm.
Just always did.
Okay.
But
consider yourself like a little bit of a playmaker.
You could say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of a...
I like to control the team. Like, I have to control you two sitting next to me sometimes.
Well, that's what Zach says about you. That's why he hasn't thrown the...
Like, I'm controlling.
He hasn't thrown the rock yet. You know, you keep throwing hints and you just... Yeah.
Oh, so I've got to back off a bit.
You do.
Zach wants...
You probably do. You could come across needy if you keep doing that.
Yeah.
Zach wants you to be more of a sort of a hard-nosed...
Yeah.
Strong line running back rower on the edge.
Yeah.
Right.
Haven't you picked that up yet?
Just being there and for support.
Yeah, because he wants to be the guy in the middle.
He does.
Because he's a dummy half.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take that on board.
Okay. No.
And then maybe I'll, how long do you think till I get a ring, maybe?
Oh, maybe 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
It's been 5 years already, hasn't it?
How long are you prepared to wait, Em?
Yeah.
I'm prepared to wait a while. I'm not in any rush. Right. We're still young.
Yeah. Yes, you are. No, you're hideously young.
But you talk about it a lot.
I do not.
Bring it up. Like
Nathan Hindmarsh does this to me as well. He puts me on the spot and says that I talk about it all the time and tells the whole office, last night told the office at Fox League that I got engaged when I didn't, and then said, oh, no, sorry, but she's desperate to get engaged,
Tell me this, Emma Lawrence. Have you looked at wedding dresses?
No, I have not.
Do you think Zach thinks he can do better?
Oh, wow.
What's he
Maybe
waiting
he
for?
Does.
What's he waiting
Maybe
for?
Maybe he
What's
does.
He waiting for?
I don't know. You ask him. Well, maybe we should get him on the line.
Let's call him up.
Can we call
Zach? He's on a road trip to Canberra down to watch the Bunnies and the Raiders tonight.
Okay.
Do we call going to Canberra a road trip?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's a road trip.
All right. He's on a road trip.
You use the road.
Is he staying overnight?
They're staying overnight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, if we'll get Zach on the line and just see exactly what his plans are. Because, you know, we care for you. You're part of the family, Em. So I'm a little bit concerned about
it. If you have to rebuild, you know, recruit again.
Exactly.
You know, might need a 5-year plan.
Yeah. Going back on the open market's a terrible thing.
I hope he's not listening to this.
It will be.
It will be soon when we speak to him on that road trip to Canberra. Speaking of markets, it's time for this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up. The Triple M NRL stock market.
Did you see what I did then?
That was...
Yes, the NRL stock market. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Just throw some things at you. Run them at the flagpole. See if you're buying, you're selling, or you are holding. We've already spoken to Anthony Seibold today, who is a happy coach. A tough start to the year for the Brisbane Broncos and for the first-time coach up there, first year at the Broncos. He got a win in the style that I think he's been looking for from his huge young forward pack. They played really well and beat the Roosters. So my question to you, I'm beginning with a former Broncos player. Can the Broncos still win the competition, Wendell Saylor?
Yeah, look, I'm buying it. I mean, the team that I saw play last night, it's been very different to the team that's played against South and the Roosters in the past. I don't like the Broncos teams that have been absolutely flogged by those big margins. But last night I saw an effort, I saw passion, I saw depth at a club. A lot of young blokes just standing up last night, and it was like a finals intensity. So, yeah, I'm on board.
Okay. I should just point out, for the interest of those who have been listening, specifically for Emma, Lawrence, and your future, we have spoken to Zach.
a call has been put through on the road trip. He's declined the offer to appear. He has no comment.
Oh, oh. Wow.
Wow.
So what's that saying to you, Emma?
How do you? How does that make you feel, yeah. Em?
Must be gone. I'm like Ivan, I'm lost for words.
Yeah.
Don't know what the answer is.
Mm. Confidence at an all-time low.
Yeah, confidence at an all-time low. We'll bring the group together. We'll regroup.
Yeah.
That's all I've got to say.
Yeah. Okay, well,
but what yes, I'm buying the Broncos as well, Tony.
They can win
I
the comp.
I think they still can.
Yeah.
I'm not ruling them out. Okay. You know, I don't think they're a great chance to win the comp, but they still can.
In our vault, you go.
If they, you know, perform like they do last night. Yep.
In our vault, you said, Wendell.
That was, you wouldn't remember, but in our vault, that was, remember we started our Triple M Saturday? That was my Triple M Saturday Roosters Broncos grand final.
Okay, well, if it was anything like last
that's
night,
what I mean.
That, very good game
like,
of footy.
There was like four or five players out from both sides.
Okay, Ryan Girdler, Broncos.
I'll have a nibble, Tony.
Oh, good on you.
I'll have a little bit of a nibble.
Yeah.
I think they've certainly got some young guys there in their first year of first grade, and I think it's really going to depend on their development throughout the season. They're going to get some really good experience through this Origin period because after, if they can put in another sort of another good week next week, they're going to lose maybe four or five quality players during this Origin period, which will then allow more younger guys to come through and get some more time. Guys like David Fifita and hasn't been playing many minutes. I want to ask you this though, Del.
Yes.
Jakey Turpin.
Yeah.
If he continues on the way that he has, and you've got Seguiaro there doing a good job coming on and being a dummy half that can create issues at the back end of halves, what do you think is going to happen to McCulloch? Do you think he comes back into that side?
Well, that's a good one because Anthony Seibold, you know, being the head coach and that, and at the moment, I think it's a different brand of football that they're playing the Broncos because Turpin, the way that he comes out, the way that he hits, like, he's got no... Remind me of Victor Radley when he first came on. He's got no respect for his body.
Look, just sorry to interrupt you there. There has been another change of plan. Zach has decided he will speak to us. He's on the road trip.
Timing manned up.
Yeah, Zach Bailey, absolutely. Yeah. Zach Bailey, hello.
Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you. Emma is so happy to hear your voice. We've just been chatting with... Yeah. I don't know if you've been listening on the road trip, have you?
Yeah, I have. Yep, of course.
Okay, so you've heard that we're all concerned here, only because we care, about why you haven't asked Emma whether she would like to marry you. I'm not saying you should propose on air. We're just trying to get a key to your mindset. What's going on, big fella?
Well, play this with honesty or like a coach these days?
Honesty
is the best policy.
Like Craig Bellamy last week where he, you know, threw it all on the table.
Yeah, that's right.
Gee, she got excited Em?
I'll put Emma on notice. She just has to live.
Wow.
Okay, in what areas?
Can you give some details?
What part of a game at the moment is she falling down in your standards?
Well, I'm a bit worried about her and Maroon, actually, because Maroon is always saying Emma this, Emma that, and Emma's always saying I've got to go and do these extra meetings with Maroon, you know, wants to help me with my calling and I'm just starting to get a little bit sussed about it. So I've got a private investigator.
He wants to help me with my calling.
Yeah, is that really?
That is not correct.
No. Oh. Zach, this man up, mate.
Are you a bit jealous of Maroon?
What's there to be jealous of? The Redfern Rocket, I mean, he's on fire this year.
What else? What other parts of a game could she lift?
What about my heels, my feet? My cracked feet? Oh.
What about the cracked feet?
Yeah.
Are you rubbing balm into those cracked feet on a nightly basis?
Now you've brought it up, Emma. That is what's holding you back. I mean, you've got to sort that out.
Yeah.
I need your lacto to sponsor me, please.
All right. Well, look, Emma's just getting a bit fidgety, a bit flirty about it all. Not flirty is probably the wrong word.
Yeah. Who am I flirting with?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
She's just a bit concerned, and we are too. So, look, if you could just speed the process up a little bit, Zach,
we're due for a wedding at the end of the year.
Believe it or not, Emma's dad actually has a wager on it. He asks me all the time, when are you going to do it? And I said, well, what's it at now? So the last I heard was 20 grand to take Emma off his hands. I don't think it's enough at the moment.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
That's not enough, 20K.
No. That is the
I
most
I think my dad is keen to get to get rid of my
sounds
sister.
Like it.
That is the most romantic thing I've ever heard. Zach Bailey, enjoy the rest
of
your road trip.
Can I ask Zach, Emma, what about Zach's eyebrows? Do you like them? You like them? I know they're very furry. They're like aggro. Do you like them? Or could he do better? Just trim them a bit.
No, I like the eyebrows. Okay. Well, I did, but maybe I shouldn't say that now after what he said about me. But no, I do like the eyebrows. I like Zach inside and out.
Beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful. That is so nice. You hear that, Zach? That's the kind of thing we want from you.
Put a ring on it, brother. Yeah. Put a ring on it.
See you, buddy. There he is, Zach Bailey, on his way to Canberra as we speak. We can get to the rest of the stock market.
Little stop at Fishwick, he said to me on the way down. Stay out of there, Zachy.
Just looking for fire.
Cameras everywhere, brother.
Just fireworks. 133353. Give us a call right now if you want to be part of the Triple M NRL fan survey. Of course, you can go to the NRL Facebook page as well, as plenty have. The question is, should Nathan Cleary still be picked for New South Wales? His performance last night and that of the entire Panthers outfit, not sensational. Should Nathan Cleary still be picked for New South Wales? I think it's running about 81% saying no.
Wow.
133353, get your thoughts on that next Saturday, Triple M NRL. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. We're doing it from Bankstown RSL. Lovely to have your company with you here in beautiful Bankstown RSL or wherever you may be listening to us. Across the city, across the state and across the land. Lovely to have your company. We asked the question in the Triple M NRL fan survey, should Nathan Cleary still be picked for New South Wales? You can go to the Facebook page. I understand it's actually jumped to 85% saying that Nathan Cleary, of course, it was part of the victorious Blues campaign last season, saying he shouldn't be there this year given the form he is in. Raffy from Linfield has called 133353. G'day, Raffy.
Hey, g'day, mate, boys. Just basically, I mean, I'm all for loyalty, but at the beginning of the year, Brad Fittler stipulated with his selectors that they would write a team every week on paper based on performance. Now, surely, if any of us have been watching any of the games, that Nathan Cleary and James Maloney certainly don't fit in that criteria in not even one of the weeks. So how could they be picked? I mean, I'm all for loyalty, but it's an injustice to basically all the other players who are in form.
Yeah, indeed. I think Brad Fittler mentioned that his loyalty was to that New South Wales jersey rather than specifically those who have filled it in the past. And I think that's a really good attitude.
You'd also have to think that Freddie was really clear last year. He said he didn't want people coming in to be the story. He wanted, you know, the team to be the story and not the individual. And I think the fact that not only is it a little bit unfair to Nathan to get him into that side because he's out of form and the pressure it puts on him in that regard, but if he goes into that side now, he becomes the story and he needs to deal in the lead up, not with just the pressure of going into an Origin game and series without being in form, but then dealing with the media. And don't forget, Freddie opens the doors.
Yep.
So he's going to have everyone coming at him talking about his form. He's going to have to deal with that. And I just think for a kid at his age at the moment and still developing, I just don't think it's in his best interest.
Robert Bonello says, no, he shouldn't be there. Penny Panthers not travelling well. Reynolds gets the number 7 for him. Michelle Davidson, definitely not on his performances so far in 2019. Shane, half the reason Queensland had a dynasty is they never made mass changes, even if players had average form. There is something in that in terms of the Queenslanders. There were times where there were Queensland players...
Pick and stick.
Pick and stick, indeed, that were out of form and got a run. As soon as they put the Maroons jersey on, off they went.
I remember one time there, Sam Thaiday, I think on a Friday night game, he made like 22 metres and had like, you know, 6 tackles, and he was terribly out of form. Picked him in Origin, he got man of the match.
He had, of course, had the experience, as Gerd says. Nathan Cleary's only been there once. He's still a kid learning the way.
I understand that, And it could be detrimental to him long-term. And also, because New South Wales has got so many form halves at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, if you're going to stick with someone, if they've done it plenty of times before, but Nathan's only been there 1 year, and I think the distraction thing is going to be big for Freddie.
All right, well, that's your thoughts. What about Ryan Girdler's specific thoughts, not just on the number 7, but the entire team? When we come back, Gerd is going to name his New South Wales team. Wendell Saylor will name his Queensland team. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Triple M footy for Ream Hot Water.
And it's lovely to be here at the Bankstown RSL as the crowd building. Of course, 3 o'clock kickoff. The Doggies taking on the Titans. If you are nearby, drop in, grab something to eat, a little bit of something to drink. Say g'day to Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence. My name is Tony Squires. Lovely to see you here. Just remember the 2019 Holden State of Origin is back. Doesn't it feel great? Both the Blues and Maroons are out to prove themselves. This year is set to be the most spectacular series yet, Gerds, I understand. Can New South Wales go back-to-back, establish their own dynasty, or will Queensland get their revenge for 2018? Be there as club loyalties tossed aside, friendships are forgotten, the sport's greatest rivalry kicks off. Now, to play your part in the rivalry without rival, secure your tickets now at nrl.com/tickets. And speaking of that game and those teams that will run out in blue and maroon, Ryan Girdler, it was your task to select a New South Wales side. Freddie Fittler, don't worry about it. The job has been done by Gerds. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, well, it's just interesting, isn't it? Because after last year and they had that win, everyone just thought for the next couple of years we would just all click into gear and that side would be rolled out and there would be success on the back of that. But the game just isn't like that, is it? There's obviously, there's form and there's injuries and there's obviously DeBellin and things like that. So there's quite a few changes this year that have been forced through some... from one way or another. So my side is at the back, Tedesco.
Wow, that's a shock.
Okay, Ferguson. I've picked Fergo back into the Origin side.
Man who was absolutely on the outer, given the Lennox head shenanigans with Dukes.
Yeah, I just think that not just his form, but just his maturity and the way that he approaches the footy these days has changed a lot.
Big
and
body.
I think he'll be a great addition, and he's a great energy to have in the group, and I think he'll be welcomed back with open arms. Him and Adokar are on the wing, so no change there. Adokar will play on the left, obviously. In the centres, I've got Latrell Mitchell and Tyrone Peachy on my right.
Tyrone Peachy?
Wow.
Yeah.
What about Jack Whiten?
Yeah, I think given the fact that that left side for the Maroons is going to be their sort of go-to side with Munster and at the back, and we've seen what Ponga can do to those right side defenders, you know, with that little skip away and that. I think it's really crucial that we have a guy that regularly plays in the centres, which is Peachy, because it's a tough spot to defend in.
What about Josh Morris?
But do you think he's playing well enough? Sorry, yeah, you go first, Emma.
Well, I think Josh is in great form. I just like Tyrone because I think he brings a little bit more with the football. I think we'd be picking Josh because we want him to go out there and defend. And I think New South Wales in the past have been guilty of picking sides to try and defend Queensland, and I think Peach can offer more from dummy half, and I think he's a guy that also, and we can go through this later, can also play a more utility role if we get an injury later on down the track. So Peach,
and you don't go for so Wayne Bennett said he would pick Jimmy the Jet Roberts out of reserve grade.
Yeah, I'm not taking Jimmy in at this point. No, if he would have played last night and would potentially then go and play again next week.
Yep.
Possibly if his form was good, but 3 weeks out of first grade, he's obviously not going to break into the Broncos side for next week.
All right,
into
six an origin, and seven, everybody's worried about.
Okay, so Keary obviously playing the left there with Mitchell and we know Cordner, that'll be the combination. On the right side, again, it's a defensive decision and it's a decision based on form. I've gone with Mitchell Pearce, and he'll defend next to Peachy. And
Mitchell Pearce?
Back in state of origin.
Yeah, I've gone Mitchell. Look, he's in good form at the moment. I believe the guy it's a different stage of his career now where he's got an opportunity to come back and win a series for New South Wales, which is obviously something that's eluded him for a long, long time. And I think he'd be super passionate about that opportunity.
Is there not the same thing?
And I reckon he's one of the best defensive halves in the competition.
What about Adam Reynolds? Adam Reynolds, he's playing great football.
He is. You're right. I just think Mitchell's a better defender. And I think there's going to be a lot of questions asked out there. I think he's a more physical player. And he's kicking game second to none at the moment, and I'd give him another shot, yeah.
Didn't you just say with Josh Morris we're not picking a side that can defend?
Oh, yes.
No, I'm picking players that can defend. Like, I see Peachy's a good defender. He usually defends, he can defend in the back row. But they also offer a lot in attack.
Didn't you also say that, you, in terms of Nathan Cleary, you weren't picking a team where they were the story? It was a team. Mitchell Pearce is a massive story if he gets back in this team.
Yeah, do you think he's a real story?
I think he's a huge story if Mitchell Pearce gets back in this
team. But at least it's more of a positive story.
But it's a positive story.
Yeah, not someone with
If he plays well over this weekend and next weekend, it's a good news week for him.
Beautiful.
Back into the side. Then Clemmer, Cook, Vaughan, Cordner, Frizzell, Trbojevic. I think that sort of speaks for itself. So on the bench, I've got Jack Whiten. So my thought behind that is if we get an injury to a back row or to a dummy half or whatever it may be, I think Peachy can slot in there and then Whiten could potentially go into the centres. I just like him because he's a big body and I just think, you know, given the opportunity, if we need him coming out of the own end or there's an injury to a winger or something, he's a specialist guy that can play pretty much anywhere in the back line. I've gone with, obviously, Crichton. I thought he did a great job last year and playing really well this year. I've gone Cam Murray. I think giving Cam an opportunity based on, you know, the damage he can do to the in the middle of the field when tired forwards around, his footwork and his work ethic is second to none. And I think he's earned the right to get a start this year. And Payne Haas is my number 17, and we saw why last night. And I'd take in Cody Walker as my 18th man.
Yeah, that's beer. Beautiful, I like that.
All right, there you go. There is the New South Wales side.
Any questions?
I have one question. You number seven, I'm just peeking, you had a name crossed out.
Who appears
next to it.
Who did you have?
Yeah, well, originally. I've been doing this over the last couple of weeks.
Who did you originally have, but?
I was going to play Maloney at seven and Keary at six, probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, but no I just more. Don't think Jimmy's...
All right, there is Ryan Girdler's New South Wales side to take on the might of Queensland, and that Queensland side, according to Wendell Saylor, will be...
Okay, this will surprise you guys.
Okay.
And at the moment, we're struggling to find players.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Here we go.
So,
here we go.
So at the back, I've got Kalen Ponga. I think the last couple of weeks, he started a bit of form.
Mm-hmm.
On the wings, I've got Corey Oates and Dane Gagai.
Yep.
In the centres, Chambers. He won't be marking Latrell. Michael Morgan will be on him.
Michael Morgan in the centres, yep.
Yep, in the halves, Cam Munster. DCE is at halfback.
Well, he's still injured.
He'll be right. Trust me, he'll
They're
be right.
They're saying that he should be right. And Kevy said he'd pick him even if he hadn't come back and played a game for Manly first. That's he said that during the week,
Okay. Okay.
Very nice from Kevy.
Mm-hmm.
In the front row, I would have in there Big Papa, as in Josh Papali.
Yes.
I think he's playing some pretty good football. Joy Arrow for me as well. He'll go there. My hooker.
Yes.
Ben Hunt.
Of course.
In the back row, Kafusi, Gillett. He's my captain.
Gillett was terrific.
He'll be my captain.
He was good last night.
Yeah, he was. Except for that ball he dropped in open space, but, you know, we all make mistakes. Mm. Maguire, he'll be right too to play. Mm-hmm. And then on the bench, I'd have Milford, Offengowie. I'm going to throw Fifita in there. And then also I will take Jared Wallace. He'll round out my bench.
Who was your front row? Papali and who?
Jai Arrow.
Yeah.
Arrow. So no Napa?
Not at the moment. He just come back, and I know they probably need Napa. I just don't know yet. I just don't think he's played enough this year.
All right, there you have the two teams.
Is that no other questions? Is that it?
Like, well, I don't think you've got any other Queenslanders available, have you? I think
hypothetical, DCE, obviously he's going to be pushing time. Yeah. What if he doesn't make it to the seven jersey?
Yeah, I'd probably throw Morgan in the halves.
Yep.
And then I put Dane Gagai into the centres and bring Cole Felton onto the wing.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Well done, both of you. New South Wales and Queensland sides have been selected ahead of time, ready to go in the next hour leading up to kickoff 3 o'clock. The Titans and the Doggies here from Bankstown RSL. Reedy's Mail plus Peter Sterling will join us. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.